In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, your fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. I have a question for you. How many of you have ever been distracted while listening to a sermon? Okay, it's not confession time. I know that all of you have been distracted while listening to a sermon. I've been distracted while listening to a sermon. I've been distracted while preaching a sermon. It's just so easy to be distracted. And it's not just with sermons. Think of the student in school who all of a sudden is staring out the window, forgetting that he's supposed to be listening to the teacher. Think of the worker who spends 30 minutes on the internet before they send out that email. It's just so easy to be distracted. It's why we need to know where our focus is. For you see, Satan wants to distract us. He wants to divert our attention. He wants us to focus on something, anything, as opposed to the one thing that is needful, which is our Savior Jesus Christ. We must confess that Satan is pretty good at distracting us. He is good at what he does. And I'm not just talking about the blatant unbeliever who refuses to trust in Jesus for salvation. It's clear how Satan has distracted them. But I'm also talking about you. I'm talking about me. Satan can easily distract us. Just think of the last time you were in an argument with a spouse, or with your parents, or with your children. During that argument, I'm sure that one of you, if not both of you, were distracted. You weren't focusing on your Savior Jesus, and on his love, and on his promise to always bless your relationships. Instead, you were focused on yourself, and on what you can do, and on what you think others should do for you. It's why there were so many arguments in your relationships. It's why there are arguments in this world. We're distracted. We're not focused on Jesus. And the same is true when you feel stressed out or overwhelmed. I'm not talking about being tired or really, really busy, but I'm talking about when your mind is so full of things that you just toss and turn all night because you can't shut up your mind. It just remains there telling you all the things that you have to do. At that point, once again, you're not focusing on your Savior and on his love, but instead you're focusing on yourself and your own limitations and how impossible it is for you to accomplish everything you want to do. Do you see what happens when Satan distracts us? For when he gets us to focus on something else, anything else besides the one thing that is needful, our Savior Jesus Christ, whether that thing is a good thing or not, if we're focused on something else, we are going to be in trouble. For only our Savior Jesus has the power to take care of everything that we need. Only our Savior Jesus has the love and compassion to take care of all our needs here on earth. It's why our focus needs to be on him. And our text brings that out. For you see, in our text we meet a man who is deaf and mute. And I think our congregation has a little idea of struggles that deaf people have. It isn't always easy being deaf in a hearing world. They face certain challenges that hearing people don't. If that's true today, imagine how true it was 2,000 years ago. When people were born 2,000 years ago with being deaf or blind or having another disability, they were almost relegated to a life of a beggar since people would just look down upon them and think that something was wrong with them. But Jesus didn't have that reaction when he met this deaf man. He didn't look down on him and wonder if there was something wrong with him. Instead, listen to what Jesus did. We read, Jesus took him aside in private, away from the crowd. He put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and he touched the man's tongue. After he looked up to heaven, he sighed and said, "Ephphatha," which means be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened, his tongue was set free, and he began to speak plainly. Now, oftentimes when we read this story, we immediately want to jump to the miracle of Jesus causing this deaf man to hear. But first, I want you to focus on the very first thing that Jesus did for this deaf man. For when the crowds brought this deaf man to Jesus, do you remember what he did? He took him aside in private, away from the crowd. And when we think about that detail, isn't it amazing? For place yourself in this deaf man's shoes. You can't hear anything. All of a sudden, you see a large crowd gathering and causing commotion around a man that you have never seen before. They're all shouting and pointing, and you don't know what's going on. Then somebody runs to you, drags you over, sets you in front of this deaf man, and they keep on shouting and pointing and causing a commotion, and you still don't know what is going on. Where would your focus be at that point? It probably would not be on that man because of all the other commotion that is all around you. Your focus, you would be diverted, distracted, looking everywhere around. And so what did Jesus do? He took him aside in private, all by himself. Even though this huge crowd was there just to see Jesus, Jesus had the ability to take this man all by himself in private. You see, Jesus is the Son of God. He can do absolutely anything. And once he was in private with this deaf man, then there were no more distractions. Then there was nothing else diverting his attention. Then his focus could be solely on Jesus. And when his focus was on Jesus, he was not disappointed. For when his focus was on Jesus, Jesus stuck his fingers into his ears. And then he spit into his mouth and touched his tongue. He did this for two reasons. First, to communicate to the deaf man. He's going to do something with his ears and his mouth. How else would Jesus communicate with him? And second, to touch him with his almighty power. And after doing those things, Jesus spoke. He spoke one word, "Ephatha," be open. He spoke to a deaf man, to a person who could not hear. And when he spoke to this person who could not hear, what happened? The deaf man listened. His ears were opened. His tongue was unloosed. And he began to hear and speak plainly. For Jesus never heals people part way. But when he heals people, he always does so fully and completely. It's what he did for this deaf man. When this deaf man focused on Jesus. And it's what he does for you. Whenever you are focused on Jesus. But just think about what your Savior Jesus has already done for you. For when you were born into this world, you were born with a severe disability. I'm not talking about being deaf or blind or something like that. I'm talking about something much, much worse. You were born full of sin. Sin clogged up your ears so that you refused to listen to God's holy word. Sin closed up your mouth so that you did not confess or proclaim his holy name. It's what sin did to you by nature. It's what sin did to me by nature. It's what sin does to all people. So what does Jesus do? Well, he takes us aside in private. He removes all the distractions that are all around us as we live in this world, and he takes us aside so that our focus can be on him. For many of us, he first did that for us at the font. At the font, Jesus removed us from this world that is all full of distractions and made us focus solely on him and the great thing he was about to do for us. And just like that deaf man, we were not disappointed. For then at the font, Jesus touched us like he touched that deaf man. He touched us with that water. He touched us with his blood. And then he spoke like he spoke to the deaf man. He spoke the same powerful word. He said, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus did these things for you at the font, when he caused you to focus on him, when he touched you and spoke his powerful word to you, what happened? Just like with that deaf man, you were healed. Your ears were opened up and you could hear God's holy word. Your tongue was unloosed and you began to confess and proclaim his holy name. For Jesus had, at the font, removed all your sins from you. Remember, he never heals partway. So he fully and completely forgave all your sins. In fact, he's still doing the same thing for you today. For sin tries to creep its way back into your life, right? It tries to close our ears to God's word again. It wants our mouths to be quiet so that we do not proclaim his holy name. Remember, as we talked about earlier, Satan will do anything to distract us. He will use whatever he can to try to divert our attention away from Jesus, including sin. And so when anger fills up our hearts and we're focusing on that anger and it causes arguments in our relationships, or when all we're doing is focusing on this to-do list and we become overwhelmed or stressed out because we can't figure out how we're going to do it all, when those things happen, our Savior Jesus will not leave us floundering alone, just like he did not leave that deaf man floundering alone. But he will come to us. He will focus us onto him. He will touch us. He will speak to us. He will drive that sin away from us and give us help. In fact, that's what he is doing here right now. Through word and sacrament, Jesus is causing you to focus on him and on him alone. Just think about how he will soon touch you by placing his body and blood on your lips. Think about how he is speaking to you right now, for this is God's holy word. And when these things happen here at church week after week, we become at peace. No matter what struggles or distractions we are facing in this outside world, when we gather here, we get to focus on Jesus and be at peace. Because we hear his precious promises. His promises to forgive us. His promises to give us strength. His promises to hold us safely in his hands. His promises to lead and guide us to our eternal home in heaven. And when you hear these precious promises of your God, no longer are you distracted. No matter what you're facing, no longer are you distracted. Jesus will make sure of it. He will make sure that you are focused on him. And being focused on your Savior Jesus, you can be filled with peace and joy no matter what is going on in your life. For you are confident that your Savior Jesus has always and will continue to always do the great thing of taking care of every single need that you face. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we sing the Create in Me